This is something that the Lord's been just showing me for my own personal life. For some reason, I think today this is what I need to talk to you about. It's a question. It's a simple question. And a lot of people, even for myself, I ask myself the same question at times. I don't anymore because I know my Father knows best. But until you know that, you know, remember, you know, we have our parents. Maybe some of you, your parents has gone to heaven. But do you remember when you were younger? I remember when I was younger, you know, I told you guys many stories about my father. I told you some of the things he did that weren't right. But let me tell you one of the things he did that was right. Because in every bad parent, you can take something good. See, now I remember my dad. I can't play sports, okay? I'm very, I can't play. I mean, I think I can do soccer because I grew up with it. I used to be a goalie. Where's Heidi? Heidi's not here. I used to be a goalie. But that was about it. I was smart enough to keep my eye on the ball. But when it comes, you know, to, I don't know what to do. You know, I try to play tennis. Man, I have two left hands. Football one time, Kendra's brother, he went to Haiti and wanted to teach us how to play football. You know how, when you look at football, man, you gotta be tough. I mean, those guys, man, I give it to them. They're making the big bucks. Man, their body's taking the toll for it. But give me an instrument I can play. So my dad, he protected us from bad people. As abusive, verbally and physically he was, looking back, I'm thinking, you know, I'm very thankful for the way my dad protected us. Because I grew up in a community and I watched some of the other young men because they didn't have a parent who was guiding them. I mean, they, of course, it's their choice, but I thank God for my parents. God is a good parent. He's a good father. So everything he tells us is for our best. You see, now, growing up, I didn't see my dad was protecting me. Now I have grown older, and I can make the difference. I'm like, you know what? Even if he was abusive, oh, this is what he was protecting me from. So the question goes like this. If you have something, you can write it down. Why should I obey God? Why should I obey the Lord? Why should I obey my parents? But in our context this morning, why should I obey God? Why should I obey the Lord? And there's a very famous story in the Bible. I want us to go there. We're going to read it because there's so much to learn from it. And we're going to let the word speak for itself. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Why should I obey the Lord? Maybe in your personal life you're struggling to obey God. Maybe some of us think, you know what? I don't want to obey God because once I start obeying God, he's going to take my freedom away. Let me break it to you. Let me tell you. I'll tell you. True freedom is from obeying the Lord. Amen. True freedom. You will experience freedom. Oh, when you begin to obey. You know? You can look in your own life. You're like, man, my parents, they were controlling. Yes, some of them, they were controlling. They watch over you like a hawk, you know? They don't want you to go left and right. Maybe they don't know any other way. But it's for your own good. Because there's no good parents who wants to be, who wants to intentionally hurt their children. But at times, us children, we think they want to control us. So therefore, we think we want freedom. Really? Now listen to this. One day Samuel said, let's read verse 1. That's it. One day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel." Now listen to his message, this message from the Lord. "This is what the Lord of heaven armies has declared. I have decided to settle account with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camel, and donkeys." Now we're not gonna go there because you'd be like, "Man, children too, Lord?" Hey. That's a different story. Verse 4. Saul mobilized his army at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent his warning to the Kenites. "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from the Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite. Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everything else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep, goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything in fact that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. But now, if you underline in this first paragraph the instruction of the Lord, what was the instruction? Destroy everything. And now, in verse 9, what did he do right there? You see what he did. Okay? Verse 10. Then the Lord said to Samuel, who was the prophet at that time, "I am sorry that I ever made Saul king." For he has not been, underline that in your Bible, loyal. Loyalty. God's looking for loyalty. You can't be loyal halfway. God wants it all. And I tell you, there are a lot of people, even what Sandra was saying, even, you know, God wants to heal you. Physically, emotionally. I don't think there is enough time in the world for us to be waiting to get delivered. The price has been paid for us to experience the fullness of Jesus. Then the Lord said, I am sorry that I ever made him king, because he hasn't been loyal. And then he refused to obey my command. Man, and I'm thinking about this. Guys, look with me. These are strong words. So God says, he refused. See, the Lord knows your heart. He knows my heart. So that means he never obeyed. So for Saul, obeying God was always a struggle. You see, whatever you don't overcome will kill you. Let me repeat it again. So today is your day to overcome whatever you're fighting with. And I tell you, the best way to overcome some of the things of life we face is to lay it at the foot of the cross Because Saul, he had a problem. Saul didn't like people to tell him what to do. Saul was, when you study the men, the King Saul, you know, if you do Bible study, the Old Testament history and stuff, you study the character Saul, he was a prideful man. Remember, it was not God's pick. The people said, you know what, every other nation has a king, but we want something with tall statues. And, you know, I wouldn't be the king because I'm short, you know. Some of you are shorter, don't laugh. But, you know, my son-in-law is like, Ryan, you know, those guys, Aaron, you know, you're tall, Ben, Mackin, you guys are tall people. Reginald, you better not laugh. I'm taller than you. You know, so Saul, he was a big dude. The people saw in him a king. They loved him. But he didn't have the character of God. And when you study the Bible, you see in the rest of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, when God chose a man after his heart, where did he go? He went and find someone who knows how to sit at his feet. And his name was David. So long story short, you can go in the Bible and read those things. It says, God says, man, he refused to obey me. It's a struggle. But I love Samuel's heart. It says Samuel was deeply moved when he heard. And he cried out to the Lord all night. See, that's a good leader right there. He interceded for Saul. He prayed for Saul. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Saul went out of town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Look at this. He loves himself. Saul went out to set up what? Monument. He wanted a statue of himself. Oh my goodness. So when Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, Saul said. I have carried out the Lord's what? How many times, even in our own lives, we think, you know what? I'm obeying God. You know, I say it here all the time. And that's something I just learned from my own personal walk with the Lord. Since the Lord called me to ministry, every major move has always been a call from Him. So I love the fact, not my will, but your will. I love to live my life not according to my will, but God's will. But my problem has been, I always have an idea what God's will should be. Anybody else like me? I don't know. Maybe you're not like me. But I tell you, I always have this idea. You know what? Not my will, but your will, God. But you know what? I think you should do it this way. And when he's not doing it that way, I kind of help him out. That's my story. Until you know what happened, I always thank God for grace. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for grace. Man, let me tell you this. I read this last week. I was just like, man, God, we serve the same God. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It is through the blood of Jesus, through the cross. Man, guys, God doesn't mess around. God doesn't mess around. God does not mess around. Man, I read this again. I'm like, man, God is yes and amen. I mean, I said, Lord, why didn't you give Saul a chance? Why? I mean, Saul kind of repented. God saw his heart. He kind of repented. But why didn't God give him a chance and he give David a chance? See, God see your heart. He knows when you truly repented. He knows when you're truly sorry for what you've done. He knows when he turned the light on into your heart, he sees the deepest part of your soul. And that attract God. A heart that is willing to obey him. Attract. Wow. He built a monument for himself. Verse 14. Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear? Samuel demanded. Is it true the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle? Well, Saul said, yeah, sure. And then this conversation going on says, but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. I mean, was that a good idea? Yeah, it was a good idea. But was that what God asked? Then Samuel said, man, stop. I like that. Stop. Listen to what the Lord said to me last night. And then he's like, what did he say? Saul, he knows God. Samuel's like, man, I can picture it. Samuel came to him with broken heart. He's like, man, Saul, what have you done, man? What are you doing, son? What are you doing? It's like, no, all these things, they're going to be sacrificed to the Lord. You know, and I think that's a lot of people, they fell into even doing church, doing ministry, doing what God called them according to what they feel. Or what everybody might like. Because remember, at that time, when a king go to war and you capture the other king, the news goes around. Other nations don't want to mess with you. So Saul brought King Agag with him as a trophy. He's going to slowly kill him. Slowly kill him. He's going to make the word goes around so everybody knows that Saul doesn't mess around. But Saul failed to remember that God is the king. God is the one that gives victory. Verse 17, and Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. Verse 18, the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners. Verse 19, why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Underline that in your Bible. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? The question remains, why should I obey the Lord? Why did you rush to the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul replied. He insisted. He's like, man, let me explain to you. This is what I did. I mean, did I do a bad thing? Well, not really, but you didn't obey. Why should you obey God? Why should you obey God's word in everything he says? I tell you, until we stop cutting corners, we'll never fully benefit the blessing of God, blessings of the Lord. Until we stop cutting corners. Oh, it says, but I did obey the Lord. I carried out his what mission? You see, he even got deceived. Saul got deceived right there. You and I, we can see it. Dude, I can tell you, you blew it. I read this, I'm like, man, come on. He's been deceived. He thought he carried out the Lord's mission. But all of us, we can see, man, you did your own thing. But I did obey the Lord. I carried out God's mission. Jump with me in verse 22. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burning offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? You see, this morning what we did in the Old Testament, you would call each of us here would have to bring whatever animals according to what you did last week. So we would come, there would be three different aspects here in this building. We would have the outer court, the yard, courtyard, the inner court, and then we would have the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, only one guy could go would be the high priest, and he would go once a year for everybody's sin, but all of us would have access to the whole, you know, to the inner court where we come and burn our sacrifice. And normally when people bring their sacrifice, they come with hope. This, whatever animal they bring, They're gonna kill it, shed the blood, burn the flesh for the remission, for the covering of their sin. Okay? Are you with me? So just imagine. So now under the new covenant, we don't need that. Jesus abolished that. So he paid the price once for all on the cross. So now we can come. He knows your heart. When we were singing, you know, and the angels cry, holy, he sees your heart. You know, I brought him a worship. I'm like, man, I lavish my heart. Jesus, you're so good. Holy, hallelujah. Yes, you're good. Yeah. Take me there. Keep me there. You know, it's like, take me there. Keep me there in the presence so I can keep loving my God. But you know what? This is what God's saying. Unless you obey, you're wasting your energy. If you're sitting here, you're not obeying the word of God. You're spinning your wheels. And Jesus is coming back. You don't want to come. You don't want him coming back, find you lukewarm, losing your passion. Why do I pray? I said, I just recently find this song. Let my life be a worship. Let my heart be Let my heart be a temple. Let my heart be a place for your glory. I want to experience in my physical body, in my everyday life, I want to experience the power that raised Christ from the dead. I don't want to lose my passion. You know, we live in an age right now, people are losing their passion. People are losing their first love. You know? Every day with Jesus, every year with Jesus should be getting better. There's no burnout in Jesus. I tell you, if you burn out, you're getting cold. Go check your meter. The power is not getting in. And I'm afraid for your life. The power is not getting in. Because every year with Jesus, every day, every month in your walk with Christ should be getting harder and harder. More excited. You know, if it's not getting more excited, you know what's happening? You're growing colder and colder. Why should you obey the Lord? And I tell you, until we see Jesus face to face, we always must obey. Because if we don't, you see what happened here. I'll tell you what's going to happen. I have a couple points I want to share with you before we're done. But I like what it says here. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than shouting hallelujah, dancing for the Lord, playing instrument, singing for the Lord, serving in the choir, serving as ushers, serving back there. You know, those guys, I tell you, put your hands together while we talk about that. For these guys, for me, please. You know, on media, I tell you, that's a ministry. Sometimes I do ministry. Last week I did it for the women's program. I was sitting back there. I was doing the projector, the camera and everything. I'm like, oh, God bless Xavier. God bless Inch. God bless everybody that does this. Because it's a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. But then if they're doing all that and they're not obeying the word, guess what? That's why I am more concerned about them obeying God. I'll shut everything. I'll shut the screen. We'll learn the songs. Because back in the days, we didn't have hymns. I mean, screen, but we had the hymn books, which we might have to pick them up again. I think they're up there in the attic. But, you know, we learn the songs. We sing them again. You'll learn them. You'll remember them. So I am more concerned about you obeying God's word than working for God. It says, because you have rejected the commandment of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Listen to what it says. Jump with me in John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. That's a very familiar verse. But if you didn't know it, listen to what it said. It says, if you love me, Jesus is speaking, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads to all the truth. But the condition here, he says, if you love me, I mean, how many times we say in our hearts, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. It's like, Jesus is like, man, come on. If you're not obeying me, stop it. You know, stop it. True love shows when you obey. So you don't have to tell me. Just like in relationship, for those of us who are married in a good relationship. If you're married, man, I mean, you always want to tell your wife or your husband, honey, you know I love you, I appreciate you. But man, I tell you, if you're honoring in the relationship, you don't have to say it. She knows, he knows, because you're just honoring. What is it? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I take that back. I mean, yeah, I said that at the beginning. Yeah, but I'm glad you say that, because there are guys, there are some guys that are like, yeah, you don't have to say it. Yeah, you still have to say it. Thank you, baby. Yeah, you still have to say it. Okay, guys, we need to tell her. We need to write her cards, not just on her birthday or Valentine's Day, all the time. But showing speaks louder than saying. You know, you got those, I call them those dumb head guys who are in a relationship with their wives and stuff. It's like their birthday, they go all out. Their Valentine's Day, they go all out. You know, it's like, you know, when Valentine's Day, the flower shop is full of guys. You know, it's like, oh man, it's like Valentine's Day. No, give her one rose a month. One rose a month. And then instead of buying her 12 on Valentine's Day. Right? That makes sense, right? So I say all this to say what? Obedience is better than words. Obey the Lord. And it says, verse, he's the Holy Spirit, verse 18. Actually, no. I missed my place here. Verse 18. It says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 19. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. You see, that's why those of you who are remaining in the Lord, you will know His Spirit. The world won't. But when you are dwelling, if you are God's child, the Spirit of the Lord bear witness to your spirit. So you're born again. Not only that, you baptized with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, you will know God. And you will know what's right. You will know what's wrong. You will still have a choice to choose right and to choose wrong. You still have a choice to obey or to disobey. I love it. Thank God for that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. There's another verse, Isaiah 40, 48 verse 17. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you. Wow. God's saying, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should follow. Oh, that you had listened to my commands. Meaning, it's like, if only you obey, if only you would obey, if only you would take to heart what I'm saying, then you would have what? Peace. Oh, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. True peace comes from obeying. It says, then you would have had peace flowing like a river. Is your peace being disturbed? This is the path. You feel tormented? Wow. Let's not go fast right there. It says, then you would have had peace flowing like a river, gentle river, and righteousness rolling over you like waves of the sea. I told you in the beginning, like loving parents, God is a good father. He always guides us for our best. But sometimes we don't always get it. God will always lead us to peace, righteousness when we obey. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Man, I want to trust Jesus. Anybody else? Yeah. I say, Lord, I trust you. I'm not going to give you more stories today, but I want to keep this short. But listen, a lot of times I think, man, God,
If only you give me the big picture, I would blow it. But I'm going to take one day at a time. Come on, help me. Gee, Lord Jesus, I love you. Come on, sing it out if you know it. And show me what I must. Yesterday gone. Come on, choir, sing Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. That's right. So, see, us new generation Christians, we don't know this. We need to go back to the song, seriously. One day at a time. That's what I'm asking. I said, Lord, like a little child, take my hands, lead it. Because you know the child don't know better. Doesn't know better. Says the Lord, say, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you, and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. You know, some of us, we like that. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. You see, you find peace, you find joy when you surrender your will to the Lord and you choose to obey Him. This is Psalm 32 verse 8 and 9. It says, all who obey Him shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. I like this quote. It's from Leonard Ravenhill. It says, maturity comes with obedience, not necessarily from age. Amen. Maturity comes with obedience, not from age. I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago, and I'm thinking, well, I said, that person is like in their almost 70s. And they are in the middle of a fight with their family. I mean, I understand sometimes people are so weird. The family dynamic is crazy. But by the grace of God, you will always be an agent of peace. You would always extend forgiveness. That person couldn't extend forgiveness. They couldn't extend forgiveness. And then you know what the person told me? I've walked with the Lord since I'm 19. You know how many times you heard that? Oh, I've been walking with the Lord since I was 20. They're 70. You do the math. Oh, I've been walking with the Lord for 60 years. Well, how about obedience? You've been walking with the Lord and you're still bitter like that? It's so hard for you to forgive. You've been walking with the Lord for so long and you're so easily offended. And let me tell you again, you've been walking with the Lord for so many years, and then you are so easily offended. You've known the Lord for that many years, and you're still dealing with that addiction? Huh? What Lord? Because I know the power of the cross when you surrender your will. You know why I'm telling you? I experienced it in my own life. I see how the Lord delivered me. I see how He delivered me under the spirit of lie, under the spirit of pornography. I see how He delivered me from being a terrible husband to a good husband. How He delivered me from being a bad father to a good father. I see how He delivered me from low self-esteem, from pride. So true maturity comes with obedience, not necessarily from age. The many years you've been coming to church, you will grow. You know, you could listen to 100 sermons until you start obeying, you'll never see maturity. You're always stuck in the desert.
You always be doing this, the yo-yo lifestyle. The yo-yo lifestyle. Happy today, gloomy tomorrow. Happy today, gloomy tomorrow. But when you obey, when you surrender your life, you know what's happening? You got this river. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. You know what it says in Psalm? It says this person will be like a tree planted, what? Planted by the stream. Oh, it says that tree will bear fruit every season. In the cold, guess what? That song, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child. When it's cold outside, when it's warm outside, when there is a storm, when there's a tornado, whatever the season. Why? Because I've got the seed of Christ. I live a life surrendered. Because your peace, your joy does not depend of your circumstances. I know many people. Listen to what, and I know many people. They tell me those things. I've heard it. Oh, I've been walking with the Lord for so many years. But also I've known young believers who's been walking with the Lord for a year, 2 years, three, 5 years. Man, they're growing because they're devoted to apply. Their fire is contagious. You know, their fire is contagious. You know, I went to the Ignite movement Friday, and there's one thing they said that kind of stuck with me. They were talking about contagious faith. You know, someone's faith can, you know, you can caught, just like you can caught a cold from somebody else, you can caught good attitude and bad attitude as well. It says bad company corrupt good manners. But good company corrupt bad manners. You ever thought about that? Well, you start hanging. Let's say you're undisciplined person. You start hanging out with a group of disciplined people. You either leave the group or you change your life. But if you're a very disciplined person, you start hanging out with a bunch of undisciplined people. You're either gonna leave that undisciplined group or you're gonna flock with them. Bad company corrupt good manners. Listen to what it says in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget that you what you heard, then God will bless you. You see the condition right here? Oh, God bless me. Well, there's a condition. God created everybody, just like not everybody is a child of God. I love this verse in the Passion Translation. I read it for you. It says, dear brothers and sisters, take this to heart. The same Greek word that's translated, pay attention. Obey. It says, take what I'm saying to heart. Be slow to speak. You know, some of us, if you like to speak, shut up a little bit. Listen. Be slow to become angry. Some of us, we have hard temper. You know, ask the Holy Spirit. You know, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it gives you this cool temper. Thank God, man. Ask my wife. I used to be hot tempered. I mean, it's like I would get offended for other people. You know, third party offense. Seriously, guys, I would just get offended for somebody else who is offended by somebody else. And then I'm carrying all this whole baggage of offense. And then before you know it, I become bitter towards this person and they didn't do anything to me. It says slow to get angry. If you get angry easy, come to the cross. Give it to Jesus. Give your soul to Him. You know, I can't get it. Like people who call themselves believer, every other word they say is an F word. Do you know the Holy Spirit doesn't come to possess you like Oguferai, like Jezebel? The spirit of Jezebel possessed people. Demons possess people. The Holy Spirit doesn't possess you. The Holy Spirit's filled you. As a matter of fact, one of the tangible fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So when you fill with the Holy Spirit, guess what? It gives you control of selves. So you know when someone is offending you. And you know your heart's, your blood's boiling. You know what's happening in your mind. And you know you want to jump at them. And you know you want to slap them. But also you do know you have a choice to be like, you know what, God bless you, we'll deal with that later. And walk away. We know that. But until there is this spiritual maturity, you know, like PK was talking, we listen to our soul. Carnal Christians live by their soul. You know? Oh, I did do this. I did do it. But that's not what I wanted to do. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all form of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us. This is it. But you need that power. You know how that power works in our lives? When we obey. If you're not obeying, the word of God is powerless in your life. But if you are obeying, the word of God is very powerful. Oh man. When you obey, you submit yourself under the authority of the word. He said, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. For that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like a poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live it out, don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in the mirror of the word, and discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but you go out and forget your divine origin. And I tell you, I really love this in the Passion. Because truth without obeying is simply hypocrisy. And that's why the world, for so many years, the world discard the church. They're like, you know what? These people, they're a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, their love's not real. I mean, this guy, he says he's going to church, but man, he's going to the bar, he's partying, he's cursing, he's in pornography. You know, it's like, you know, they're disrespecting their parents. They're disrespecting authority. I was like, what's the difference? You go to church, I don't. You know, your truth without obeying is hypocrisy. That's why God is a God of character, and he wants you to reflect his character. He wants you to be a man, a woman of character. Why should you obey God? And I want to leave you with this. There's so much we could cover, but I'll come back to that. Number one, an obedient heart. I think I have it on the screen. An obedient heart allows God to do those things. Number one, it allows God to stay close to us. An obedient heart allow God to stay close to you. So if you want God to stay close to you, you obey. You obey. God doesn't looking for just for people to display his power. He wants us to submit. You know, when I say display his power, sometimes people put a lot of emphasis on charisma. You know, I mean, I'm very charismatic. Okay, I'm loud. I love Jesus. Take me as I am, you know. But some of you are not like that. Some of you are like, Jesus is good, you know. I love Jesus. You know, and that's good. That's awesome. Me and you, we've got the same thing, except two different personality. You know, I walk in a room, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, man. This is good, man, I tell you. So it's a different personality. But God, what he wants... He wants to stay close to us. Listen to what it says in Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. It says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
Guys, that's why we worship. Okay?
John chapter 14, we read it. It says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Number two, the reason an obedient heart allows God to show His goodness. So you want to experience God's goodness? You obey God. God really is concerned about everything we go through. But you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm going through all this stuff. Why ain't God helping? Well, you know, God is the creator of everything, but He's not the father of everyone. It's just like there are many children out there, but I only have three. Well, I know my three children. I give everything to them. I'll help every other children. I will help every other children. But I tell you, when my children call, guess what? I hear their voice. Why? Because they're mine. It's the same thing with our Father in heaven. He knows. He knows you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, my God and my God will meet all your needs according to His riches and His glory. See, that's something to grab. It says, your God, your Father will provide everything according to His will. Number three, the last one, it says, an obedient heart allows God to see our love. Touch a little bit on that. When we love God, we obey. Worship the Lord with gladness. Psalm 101. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. Why do we sing, you are an ever, the everlasting God. Ooh, the everlasting. I tell you, that's joy in the Lord. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with what? Gloomy face? Sadness? You know how you displace the spirit of heaviness? You displace the spirit of heaviness with praise. That's why when we come in the presence of the Lord, you feel like the atmosphere is so heavy. You know what we must do? Praise. I'm a worship leader, okay? So sometimes I come in the presence of the Lord, I feel so heavy. You know what I do? I praise Him. That's why when you come here, when we come together, you feel so heavy, join us. You are the ever. Even if you're beating, out of, clapping your hand out of beat. All right? You are the everlasting. Participate. Why? Because you enter in. Right? You enter in. You're displacing the spirit of heaviness with praise. It says, know that the God is God. He made us. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He says, enter His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His house with praise. Give thanks to Him. Oh my goodness. I pray today. You know, I know they're going to sing, the Lord bless you. But my prayer this morning is that the Lord will bless you with a heart to obey. The Lord will bless you with a mind to say, you know what? I have made the decision to obey you. No matter what, Lord, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to pray that right now. Jesus, we come to you right now, Father. In your name, in the name of your Son, Father, we thank you for working a miracle in our hearts. Thank you for working a miracle in my heart, Lord. Why should I obey you? There's so many answers. There's so many benefits. When I read your word, even the story we read in 1 Samuel, Father, we submit our hearts to you. God, I pray that you would grant us your grace with a heart and mind to fully surrender. Fully surrender. That obedience would not become something so heavy. It would be our joy. It would be my joy to obey my Father, because I know my Father knows best. The Father, we ask that you would forgive us. You know, I want to give, as the choir sing this song, if any of you need prayer, I'm going to set myself up there and make sure I'm ready for you. But respond to the word of the Lord this morning.